Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows? Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, the verses 1 through 14. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 1, the first 14 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand where thou hast gathered us and our children by renewal within the walls of thy house. Then the reasons for thanksgiving have been multiplied. Lord, the birds of the air have done so. And then we do well that we also examine our hearts in that respect. And Lord, thou knowest that the true thanksgiving, that is a gift which thy dear Son Jesus Christ has merited for his people, and which he grants by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. To that end, may it please thee, by the first time and by renewal, a broken, a humble, and a contrite heart, a little bewilderment of all thy mercies and goodness for poor, needy sinners. Then, Lord, we have heard rich things out of thy holy word, that there was a church gathered in one place in one accord with prayer and supplication, pleading the promise which thou hast given concerning the rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, O Lord. May it please thee by thy grace that thou may grant even a little resemblance of that early church. To that end, then it is needful that thou bindest the matters upon the heart by thy Spirit, that thou granted exercises that perseverance, that wrestling with thee, with an eye for thy honor and glory, and a vehement desire for the coming of thy kingdom in the hearts of young and old. Then we have read of a waiting church. May there also be a waiting people in our midst. And then it is so needful that thou encouragest them, that thou instructs them, and that their eyes may be upon thee. Ah, Lord, perhaps souls that have waited long, and sometime the fear that they shall wait in vain. But oh, it can never be. Wilt thou so then encourage them? Because it can be with the psalmist, has God forgotten to be kind? Shall I his promise faithless find? Thou fulfilleth it in thy time and in thy way. Then that church in that upper room, they have not pleaded, and they have not waited in vain. Thou hast fulfilled thy promise. Thou art still gathering thy church. May it please thee to do it in this evening hour, that thou may take an arrow of divine love, dipped in the precious blood of thy dear Son, and that it may be shot in the heart of the king's enemies. Ah, thou hast done it on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 enemies were made friends, but thy people were also led further in the mysteries and the steps of grace. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace in our midst, in the church? Wilt thou remember and bless the consistory to that end? And in this evening, a brother hopes to be installed to the office of elder, who is sufficient unto these things. May his help and expectation be in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Wilt thou richly bless him, bless his labors, grant special tokens of thy favor, and what he needs, the whole consistory needs, all bind together as we read of that little church in that upper room in one accord in the unity of faith around the old truths and the old ways. Wilt thou remember his dear wife? For her it shall also become different when she comes up to thy house. Wilt thou remember all the wives and all the families of the office bearers? Bless thy word in the family circles. Do bless thy word in our Christian school. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established congregations. Wilt thou remember thy servant who has accepted a call to a congregation? May his labors be richly blessed. Wilt thou grant thankfulness in the midst of the congregation, but wilt thou also remember our mission field? The labors are manifold. May it please thee to grant more servants for thy vineyard, a church worker for our mission field, and teachers for our Christian schools. Uphold the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish nation the beloved for the Father's sake. Remember all mission work. Remember Bible translators and those that bring thy word to the end of the earth. We remember the father and mother whom thou wast blessed with the little son. Well, to grant broken and humble hearts, there was difficulty with breathing. May the means be blessed. May he be a little one that may be born to be born again. Well, I remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents. Oh, do work from generation to generation. In these serious and solemn times where thou art still gathering thy church, we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, our Bethesda, those that may lovingly care for them, and wilt thou remember all the sick and afflicted, those under the physician's care in special ways. Thou knowest the fears, thou knowest the concerns. Ah, do remember, do bless, and above all sanctify. Well, thou remember the family circles. Lord, may it please thee in this evening hour to do what thou hast done in the realm of nature in the past week. Showers from above, and the sun of righteousness to shine. Then it shall be a good service. Well, thou grant thy gracious help to that end. Well, thou grant it Aaron's and hers. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. We are but a company of poor sinners. But thou declareth in thy word the tender multitudes of thy great mercies. May that be manifest in this evening hour. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 273, the first five stanzas. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. And what follows, Psalter 273, the first five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 1, the verses 6, 7, and 8, where God's word and our text reads thus: "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Our text words speak of the disciples' exercises regarding the kingdom of heaven, with three thoughts. In the first place, the question pertaining to the time of the kingdom. In the second place, the answer concerning the sovereignty of the kingdom. And in the third place, the encouragement for the labors in the kingdom. The disciples' exercises regarding the kingdom of heaven. The question pertaining to the time of the kingdom. The answer concerning the sovereignty of the kingdom. And thirdly, the encouragement for the labors in the kingdom. Thus first, the question pertaining to the time of the kingdom. Beloved congregation, in our text words, then we have the last question which the disciples have asked the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the last words of Christ before he ascended into heaven. And concerning the question which the disciples have asked, harsh judgment has been passed upon the disciples, criticized. Others have thought those disciples, to say it simply, have been office bearers for 3.5 years. How did they even dare to ask such a question when Jesus has instructed them so clearly concerning the kingdom of heaven? What are your thoughts, congregation, about the question that the disciples have asked? Do you look down upon those disciples? Then I hope that in this evening hour, when we shall examine that question, that you shall no longer look down upon them, but that you become jealous of those disciples and of those blessed exercises. For souls that are exercised with the kingdom of heaven, that I am not saying souls that have been exercised, but I am speaking of souls that are exercised. Are there such in my midst in this evening hour, exercised with your own soul, one thing needful to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God and the privilege and blessing, because when the Spirit teaches us that we are lost and need to be saved, then we are given to see that also our fellow travelers have a soul that needs to be saved by the Lord. And to that end, then it is needful that we carefully examine, oh, it is true, there was some things amiss in the question, but the church, they learned to pray with the disciples in Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. The Lord has a people that may be under the prophetical ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that have experienced, that have learned much, but that still learn how ignorant they were. And then we read in our text, when they therefore, that word therefore, that refers to the foregoing. Then those disciples that therefore, that refers to the instruction which they have received from their master also after the resurrection. Then that word therefore, that refers to the promise which they have received concerning the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Then that word therefore, that refers, because they read in Luke 24, verse 45, in the evening of the resurrection, that Christ has opened the scriptures concerning himself, their understanding was opened, that they understood the necessity of the humiliation, but also of the exaltation of Christ. Thus that word therefore, that is a therefore upon the finished work in the state of its humiliation, and faith to believe that in the state of his exaltation that he shall fulfill his promise. It was a waiting church. Thus then already congregation, concerning that word therefore, then we must examine ourselves as there. Now by the grace of God, has there come a therefore, a hope in our life? By the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit. And because those disciples with that question to make it simple, congregation, that question needed some instruction, that needed some guidance, some correction. But what is now better? A family circle when there are boys and girls that do not care so much about the Bible and about the things of the Lord, and that never have a question. Hey, oh, boys and girls, that is not you, that you read your Bible faithfully. Or when there are children and young people that are exercised with these things, and then sometime they come with questions. Oh, and what questions we all can have, can multiply it out. The will of God, His sovereignty, His providence, election, our deep fallen Adam, you can multiply it out. But what is now better? To have children to come with those questions, maybe not properly worded, maybe asking things too great, or to have children that are like a Galileo that care for none of those things. Then you can understand, congregation, then those children with questions is better. And so it is with these disciples. When they therefore were come together, we read that word together three times in Acts 1. Not a false peace, a false unity. So much peace in this time, also in the churches, at the expenses of the truth. But I read in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, ask ye for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Thus these disciples, it is clear, when they were come together, they have spoken together concerning the things of the Lord, concerning the promise, and now they had a question, a perplexity, which they still desired to lay before their master. Thus that is the second point, to examine our hearts. Are we now busy with the things of the Lord? And then further, they ask of him, saying, Lord. That is a title of respect. That is a title of honor, but also of ownership. Thus the disciples have acknowledged their master as their Lord. They were servants and handmaidens. Thus that is the third point that we may examine our hearts by. And then I think already, congregation, that perhaps many, that they do not look down upon those disciples with their question. And then especially in the fourth place, then their question concerned the kingdom of heaven, whether it would be restored to Israel, to Jerusalem. Thus they were given to believe what was written in God's holy word. In the Old Testament, then there are many promises, especially in the prophets, concerning the restoration of Israel, first in the context of the captivity, also concerning the New Testament church, and also promises for the Jewish people in the latter days. Only think of Joel 2 verse 28. And in that day it shall come to pass that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. I will pour my spirit upon thy servants and handmaidens. And in Isaiah 2 verse 3, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And Christ is also related to the disciples. Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Thus their question had a certain base. Although, of course, their thoughts were still too much concerning an earthly kingdom, but also in that respect, let us not judge those disciples too hard, because congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, then he has ended that sermon concerning the fruits of the works of free and sovereign grace in the life of sinners. Thus those disciples, it is true, a certain misconception and misunderstanding, but for your encouragement, read the histories of revivals, the wonderful works of the Lord, which he has performed among the white men, among the Indians. And when the Lord has wrought wonderfully, that has become evident in society, in the community, the Lord's day was punctually kept. The places of sin and vanity, they were closed. Thus when the Lord, when the kingdom of heaven comes with power, then it shall be seen. Thus concerning our religion, not only a religion, concerning our religious duties and the Sabbath day, of course, that is a day of separation, but our religion is our whole life, our family life, our labors, our business, at school, wherever we are called to be. Thus, what a blessed desire for the church when they may be exercised, that the church, as I read in Matthew 5, the verses 13 through 16, may be more the salt and the light of the earth. And then further, that is also a precious point. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Then the disciples, they had a great love for their own nation. And Christ has given them the mandate, because in this evening, there's also in the context of the installation of an elder, then Christ has given them the mandate that they must preach repentance and remission of sins in his name unto all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Thus then, in this request of the disciples, then we taste of the concern and the love they had for their own people and for their own city. O people of God, may I ask you, how is it now with Jerusalem? How is it with your wife, with your husband? How is it with your children? Are there holy concerns? Are there exercises? Is there that wrestling? Oh, we know it. That true wrestling, that is a gift from above. But when the Lord binds those divine realities upon our heart, solemn impressions that we are all traveling to a never-ending eternity, when we may be given to taste of the good things of the Lord, the sweetness of the service of the Lord, oh, shall it then not be? Oh, what an instruction for office bearers. And it can be that as office bearers that we are busy with our fellow man, and that it becomes lean for our soul. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Ah, that was their desire, because soon they would be called upon, it is true, called to begin at Jerusalem, thus it was a request that those labors may be blessed in the midst of Jerusalem, in the midst of Israel, and when they would soon be sent forth to go to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles would say, Apostle, you may come to us with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How is it now with your own nation? How is it with the city of Jerusalem? Have they received that gospel, or do they resist it? We do not have to broaden it out. When office bearers have children that go into the world, how difficult it can be. Then further, the disciples have asked, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Then they are given to ask concerning this time. A holy urgency is necessary each time when we come to church. Can be the last time, congregation, that we are given to speak to you. And therefore, should there not be that holy urgency, Lord, this time, this service, that it may please the King to take an arrow dipped in love and in the precious blood, and that many among you, young and old, may be wrought upon to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. than the disciples. Then they have spoken of again restore. That means they have not forgotten former times. They have not minimized the wonderful works of the Lord in the days of old. And they were given to ask. Oh, in the scripture we read of those Old Testament Pentecosts where the Lord has wrought so mightily and so wonderfully among His chosen people. And then when the disciples were given to ask, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of heaven? Then is it not a fitting prayer for a child of God who has left its first love? For a backsliding child, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore what thou was former so richly given to experience, where it was so tender? Oh, it is true. Maybe more zeal than knowledge, but it was so real. And then I was more like those disciples, exercised with the coming of His kingdom. Oh, many sighs sent up, also when coming up to God's house. Sighs sent up for the family circle, for the congregation, that thou may work wonderfully and mightily. Ah, those times with the desire that all may come to a saving knowledge of a triune God. And now, congregation, what think ye of the question of the disciples? Shall we look down upon them? Shall we criticize them? It is true. They needed correction. They needed instruction. But how is it now in our life? Do we have something of that therefore? Together, united, as we read in verse 13 and 14. Oh, do we have something of that love and exercises for Jerusalem, those that are so near and dear unto us? Do we have expectation, believing what the Lord has written in His Word? Do we now resemble that church that was waiting for the fulfillment of the promise? And now it is remarkable, the second and third thought, the children have to go to school, must not become too late. But then the second and third thought, then we can say a few words when we address the newly installed elder and the congregation. But it is remarkable that Jesus did not rebuke them. He did not say to the disciples, have I been so long with you? He said that to Philip. In John 14, He did not rebuke them. He did not give them a direct answer to their question. Nevertheless, He has answered them. That is also instruction for office bearers, for parents, when there are those that come with questions that are so deep and profound, perhaps curiously prying, because John Calvin has written that with this answer, Jesus' answer, he cures their morbid curiosity by relating to them their present duty. Thus, what an instruction, but now by renewal, young and old, what think ye of the question of the disciples? Oh, then we have many reasons to be ashamed and blessed that people who may be exercised with the holy things of the Lord, with the kingdom of heaven, with their own soul, with the soul of their fellow travelers, with the coming of his kingdom and the glory of his name. Amen. Psalter 396, the stanzas 3 through 6. The Lord is right in all his ways. His works his love declare. And he is nigh to everyone that breathes the trustful prayer. And what follows, 396, the stanzas 3 through 6. We shall now read the form of installation of elders and deacons, which you can find on page 145 in the back of the Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the name of our brother here present, who was chosen to the office of elder in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why he should not be installed in his respective office. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against him, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to his installation. But first, you who are to be installed, and all those who are here present, I shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elder. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who was placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former were of that labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments, but the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle in those things which they could not perform alone, notwithstanding the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church to the end, that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church, out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is together with the ministers of the word to take the oversight of the church, which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, that not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who were lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with her good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. We now ask the brother to be installed to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brother, Mr. Peter Niels, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. In the first place, I ask concerning eldership whether you do not feel in your heart that ye are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to this, your respective holy office. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective office, as it was here described, ye elders in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word, do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness, and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church. Mr. Peter Niels, what is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace, that ye may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective office. Amen. Brother, we have already heard much in this evening hour. Is my wish for you that you may be much exercised with what those disciples were exercised with, and that was with the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is true, there was still something amiss in their question. They still had too much of an earthly thought of an earthly kingdom. But we have heard they were sincerely exercised. We have heard of a therefore. We have heard of a together. May we be given as consistory to stand shoulder to shoulder around that old truth and the old ways. We have heard that the disciples were exercised with their own people, with Jerusalem, with Israel. They were exercised with restoration. And then Jesus has answered them. And then he was given to point to his Father, given to glorify his Father, and given to speak of his sovereignty, that the Lord has decreed all things for the ingathering of his church, the means, the time, and the instruments. And we must always remember, brothers, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things unto us and our children. And now in our text words, then we have a special instruction. Oh, as office bearers, especially when we begin, the late Reverend Verein has even said, to begin is one thing and to continue is another thing. That is for all. But how often We are so concerned whether it shall go and how it shall go. Of course, public needs to be for the edification of the church. But the root of the matter, more concerned about my honor than his honor. But now what may it be? Those times that our text words may be experienced. Because verse 6, then the disciples, the last question, they did not express the concern so insufficient who was possible. The disciples knew that. That if not such a good record, have denied their master. Spoken oftentimes unadvisably, but in verse 6, they did not begin how it would go, but exercised with the kingdom of their master for his honor. And then upon that exercise, and that shall be experienced, brothers, when there may be those times when the Spirit grants those exercises, all begging that the simple labors may be blessed for the conversion of sinners, the uncovering of false foundations, and for the comfort, the edification of the people of God. When there may be those times, then verse 8 shall be experienced. Because then Christ has said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be, witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses, speaking by our walk. But that word witnesses in Greek, that also refers to being a martyr. Are we willing to be martyrs for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thus that means, brother, that is sacrifice. And then begin in Jerusalem, but also Samaria. That was a people that have not the full truth. They have departed from the truth, but that people also need the truth. Thus, first in the midst of our own people, also in our community, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, the calling of mission work, but it is a blessing as office bearers when we may meet those souls that have truly come to the ends of the earth, as I read in Psalm 61, when my soul from the ends of the earth cry unto thee, overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then as office bearers, we need to be administered out of the fullness of that great office bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his prophetical, in his priestly, and in his kingly office. The Lord also remembers congregation, the wives, and the families of the consistory. where they are given to sacrifice much, the Lord grant his reward. And now what is needful? Oh, that as a people, of course also, that the concerns, the exercises of verse 6 of our text words, that they become our exercises by the first time and each time by renewal. There can be times in the life of the living church with impossibilities in the time of waiting that the Spirit can give them more freedom concerning the fellow man than for themselves, and therefore the necessity, and boys and girls, that does not only refer to older people, but that also refers to younger ones. Then in the time between the ascension of Christ and the day of Pentecost, then I read, we have read it together, verse 13, that they were with one accord in one place in prayer and in supplication. May the Spirit grant those blessings. May there be many a Aaron's and hers among young and old, asking the Lord that he may help the consistory, each and every one, and what else, that the labors may be richly blessed. That the Lord may give a rich Pentecost amongst us and our dear children. The King is still gathering his church, and now the wonder. We have mentioned from Luke 24, verse 47, that repentance, oh, that is needful. When the Lord works, there shall be repentance, it shall be seen. That repentance unto the remission of sins through that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ be proclaimed among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Is there perhaps a Jerusalem in my midst in this evening hour? What do I mean? Oh, if there was a people, a city, that ascended all the way, it was Jerusalem. An unbelieving city, a privileged city, a rejecting city, a blood-stained city, a city that ascended all the way. And now Christ has said to his disciples, you must begin in Jerusalem. Oh, for such a people, for such sinners that have ascended all the way, then that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ must be proclaimed, and the Lord has promised to grant the application. Oh, are there waiting souls in my midst? Oh, then perhaps 'tis already the ninth day, and the tenth day is at hand, because the Lord shall never forsake the work of his hands. He shall fulfill what he has promised to his church. Ah, may we be given to beg. If the Lord grants it, the coming Lord's Day, we hope to commemorate that glorious feast. 3,000 converted and God's people led further in the steps of grace. May all the labors, we are but men, who are sufficient unto these things, may all the labors be blessed to that end. We ask the congregation to sing unto our brother elder from Psalter 436, the stanzas 1 and 3. Praise, praise ye all the Lord of lords. All ye his servants, bless his name. Ye that at night his watch maintain, extol his services with fame. 436, 1 and 3, standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church, which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. Be all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive this man as the servant of God. Count to elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that is stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give each to him that needeth, each of you. Doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord, saying, O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of the church to ordain in it beside the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope, endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders, and taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts toward those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 221, the three stanzas, Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. And what follows, 221, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.